take her and Christy a great deal of time to get her hair under control once again. She wondered if she should simply cut it off. Turning the lantern higher for more light, Mildred pulled the blankets away from the bed, exposing Tabitha beneath on the bare concrete.
You can come out now.
Mildred offered a helping hand. The tendons sticking out on her neck, the pregnant woman was drenched with sweat, her fist jammed into her mouth to keep from crying out. An AK-47 was held tightly in her other hand, the bolt primed and ready. Her legs clenched together and trembling, the floor beneath her damp, with a clear fluid.
Oh, no.
Mildred knelt on the floor. Daffer brought the lantern closer.
What's wrong? Did we hurt her pretending to bounce on the bed?
Her water broke. She's in labor.
The physician took the weapon from the woman and placed it aside.
Help me with the bed.
Daffer rushed over. Together, they lifted the furniture and moved it out of the way.
You sure? It's much too early.
Tell that to the child. They come when they decide, and that's life.
Or death.
He glanced at the door. Brushing the damp hair from Tabitha's ashen face, Mildred placed a palm on her bulging belly and counted. The contractions were only seconds apart. Tabitha gave a muffled cry of pain as Mildred knelt before the woman and eased her legs apart. Then, as gently as possible, the physician tested the birth canal with fingertips.
Why, you're already at 10 centimeters. This will be such an easy birth.
The panting woman writhed in agony as another contraction shook her whole body, and this time she cried out.
It hurts!
Always does.
Not this bad. Get my med kit. Over there by the chopping block. Stop boiling water in that clean pot and bring that bottle of moonshine.
Daffer stared in confusion at the physician, but did as requested. Tabitha shuddered in terrible pain as Mildred probed inside her in a different manner. Her fingers touched something that felt like a foot. Placing the bag nearby, Daffer asked a question with his expression. Rolling up her sleeves, Mildred nodded.
It's a breach. The baby's coming out backward and strangling on its cord.
Don't die.
Yanking open her bag, Mildred didn't reply as she laid out the shoelaces, the clean cloth, and her jar of sulfur, then placed the sterilized knife from Jack on a separate square of bed linen. That was for emergencies, should everything else go wrong.
Easy now.
She placed a folded piece of leather into the woman's mouth for her to bite down on, although losing teeth was the least of her worries at that moment.
There. Better, isn't it? Daffer, bring the moonshine. Now, Tabitha, try not to push on the next contraction, okay? I know how much you want to, but don't push, understand? Do not push.
The woman nodded, clawing blindly at the floor, cracking fingernails and leaving bloody trails.
Pour the moonshine on my hand.
As Daffer complied, she washed thoroughly, paying special attention to under her own nails.
Now what?
Daffer hugged the empty bottle. Mildred picked up the knife and inspected the edge in the flickering light.
Pray.
The blackness faded into a red haze, and sluggishly Christy awoke into a world of pain. Her head was throbbing, and her mouth tasted of blood. In a rush of fear, the woman suddenly knew that she was standing against something cold and metallic with her hands tied. Forcing her vision to clear, Christy realized she was tied spread-eagle to the side of the LAV-25, her shirt was unbuttoned to the waist, her bra was missing, and several grinning sec men were roughly squeezing her breasts.
Ryan's bitch is nice and juicy.
A man guffawed, pinching her nipples hard. Another man started to unzip her jumpsuit the rest of the way.
Let's get to it.
Revulsion and fury welled within the woman, but she was as weak as a kitten and totally helpless. Frantically, Christy glanced around as the laughing sec men dragged her jumpsuit down to her ankles. The garage was large enough for several wags, but only one Bradley was parked inside. Another door off to the side led somewhere, and the garage door she had mistaken for a wall was closed tight. The troops were gathered close around their prisoner, grinning and rubbing their crotches, 10, maybe 15 blue shirts and one officer. He was the only man shaved and wearing a sidearm. Dimly, Christy could hear the sounds of warfare outside, the rattle of a machine gun, the boom of a shotgun, a scream of pain, and the insistent clanging of the alarm bell. Dirty hands fondled her intimately, and the woman braced herself for the gang rape. These animals wouldn't dare kill her, because the Baron would be furious. Her death would come later, in Overton's private chambers.
Line up, boys.
A big sec man sported a bushy mustache that he stroked lovingly. Oddly, he stood a bit away from the others.
We can each have a turn with the slut.
The sec men eagerly formed a line to the right, slapping one another on the back and making vulgar comments.
Officers first.
The lieutenant unzipped his pants.
Sure.
And the sec man, leveling his blaster, hosed the lieutenant with a stuttering burst of rounds. Shifting the barrel, he then moved quickly down the row, spraying them in a classic figure-eight pattern. The last few tried to grab their weapons, but to no avail. At that range, the rapid-firing Kalashnikov assault rifle tore them into pieces. Disoriented, Christie could only stare in wonder at the man as he slammed in a fresh clip and shot the blue shirt some more, just to make sure everybody was dead. When he was done, the sec man shouldered the AK-47, drew a knife, and started sawing at her bonds.
Have you free in a tick?
He grunted as he put pressure on the blade. The knotted hemp rope was thick and didn't cut easily.
Why?
Christie stared at the man. It was the only question she could think to ask. He was so close she could smell his sour sweat and the stale smoke in his breath.
The name is Orrin Wyndham, ma'am. I hold the rank of sergeant in the sec force of this village lawful ruler, Baron Nathan Carter.
A brown?
She rubbed her aching wrist. The skin was rough and sore, but not bleeding.
Never heard of spies before?
The ropes parted, the knife blade hitting the armored hull of the LAV with a clank. Then the sergeant knelt to work on the lower ropes.
There are six of us in Overton's troops, miss. We're not quite as dumb as he thinks.
The lower ropes didn't offer anywhere near the resistance of the early bonds, and in seconds the man stood and turned his back on Christie so she could get dressed. There was a rustling of cloth for a few minutes, then a hand grabbed his shoulder and spun the loyalist.
Thank you.
She knew the words were completely inadequate, but what else was there to say?
Thanks.
Twitching his mustache, Orrin bowed slightly, then stood with the gun belt of the dead officer in his hand.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
As her own weapon was nowhere in sight, Christie belted on the bloody leather and checked the hand cannon in the holster. It was a .357 Magnum Smith & Wesson with a 4-inch barrel. Cracking the cylinder, she found it fully loaded with homemade dum-dums, and the ammo pouch on the belt held several reloads, both .38 and .357 caliber. That confused her for a moment, until she remembered J.B. once mentioning that certain Smith & Wesson revolvers could take both cartridges with perfect safety. That made it a near-perfect survivalist blaster, as that feature doubled the type of ammo a person could use. Christie took a long blaster off the floor, then slowly went along the row of corpses, stuffing her pockets with extra clips. One private also had a nice 13-inch knife that she took and shoved into her boot as a spare.
Sounds quiet out there.
Wyndham's ear was pressed to the garage door.
Don't know if that's good or bad.
It's too soon for either side to have won, so it probably means everybody is digging in. Where does that go?
Christie pointed at the interior door.
It's a storage closet, filled with wires and cables and odd pre-dark things. Don't know where he got them.
Christie stared at the blank door. So that was where they hid the electrical supplies brought in by Stephen. The cables had to be very important to Overton for him to guard the equipment so well. The sergeant studied her for a moment.
Are you okay, miss? You're very pale.
It'll pass. And the name is Christie.
Mother Gaia. She was still too weak from summoning the Earth Mother's power to charge into the streets and do anything but get chilled. However, an alternative plan offered itself.
We're taking the LAV-25.
Excuse me, the what?
The APC. That thing.
She pointed.
But Christie, I don't know how to drive.
I do.
Walking to the rear of the military wag, she took a stance and yanked open the double doors. Nobody was hiding inside.
Get in.
Christie moved to the front of the wag. Placing the AK-47 on the line of wall seats, Wyndham stepped inside and closed the doors, throwing a stout locking bolt.
Huh? Not half bad.
The sergeant crouched a little to avoid hitting his head on the armored ceiling.
Usually only officers get to ride inside these.
It'll do. Any chance you know how to fire a machine gun?
Christy looked at the chain gun in the turret. The machinery seemed in good shape, and the ammo bin was filled with a linked belt of brass shells.
Of course I can.